What's up, podcast family? It is Mrs. Darth Saint hopping on here to wish a happy one-year anniversary to the 28 to 3 podcast and a happy two-year wedding anniversary to my husband, Mr. Darth Saint himself. Thank you for making our marriage the second most important thing to happen on 3/28. I love you, I love the pod, and I'm looking forward to this football season. Who dat?
Just to make it 28-3. Arthur Blank loving it, up by 25. Toss to White. He's in! What a comeback!
Man, that's a good intro. You were listening to the very first 20-3 podcast on 3/28. I'm Corey. You're here with Max and Nick.
Going forward, any thoughts on what to expect on the pod?
The unexpected.
Expect the unexpected.
No structure. We're just
nothing but
go.
Saints.
Yeah.
Give
yeah.
us the mic. Fresh turn take. Us loose.
There you go. That's going to do it for this week.
See you next week.
Boom.
We're here at the 28-3 podcast. And for our first guest, who could only be the first guest, it's a man that needs no introduction. Because y'all all knew him, Saints Hall of Famer, Roman Harper. What's going on, Rome?
What's up, fellas? Max?
Yeah, welcome to the show, bud.
Corey? And who's the other third partner in crime right here?
Nick. Yeah, you've met Nick before at some Nick. Point at Root. We've had a shot or two with him.
Oh,
so.
Okay.
That was Peyton years. Was that when Peyton was there, Max?
Yeah, that was the game they kicked the crap out of us. On game.
Yeah, it was terrible.
That was that then.
That was Steve Spagnuolo's defense. Yeah. We were terrible.
Well, I think we should start with, Rome, tell us a little bit about your draft experience. You know, you were drafted back in 2006 in the second round. So take us through, I guess, that whole weekend. You know, I guess it would have been Friday night when you were selected. So what?
No. It was
Saturday would have been Saturday.
That was when the draft.
Yeah.
Draft was just 2 days back then. First three rounds on Saturday, and then Sunday was 4-7. So I was just I was a first day guy. So, in all honesty, fellas, all right, it was I didn't know where I was going to go. I knew I wasn't a first round pick, according to my agent. Every team he had done a breakdown on, I was either going to go from anywhere from the second round all the way to the fifth round. So leading up to the draft, I didn't party. I didn't really drink. I didn't hang out really for like months because I just didn't want to get in trouble. I wanted to put everything I had into this whole process so I could look back and say, you know, I did everything I could under my own power to try and put myself in the best position to be drafted high. But I truly had no idea who was all interested in me. I probably talked to 10, 12 teams at the combine, if that many. And then during the like visits part of the whole thing, I had zero visits. I didn't go anywhere. Nobody like brought me out anywhere. I had Carolina Panthers safeties coach, Coach Gilhammer, actually came and saw me in Tuscaloosa. And that was the only team that actually like tried to come see me or had any contact with after the combine. So I literally had no clue. And it was just weird to me that nobody, you know, I understand why later, as I got into the league and was there a long time, I figured out why. But at the time, I was very naive and just didn't understand it. I was actually quite jealous of other people and envious because I just didn't know. So that Friday night before the draft, you know, I told you I hadn't partied or anything, and I was back in Tuscaloosa. And I kicked the ball out of the park that night. I freaking went hard in the paint. Like we all know how Roman Harper knows how to get after it.
Well,
that night.
Right. Sounds like you got
man. I went all in. And so Saturday morning, I woke up literally as the draft was about to start about noon, you know? So I literally just rolled over when the draft was about to start. I was like, dude, I got to like sober up, get home. It's about an hour and 15 ride. So I showered, got cleaned up, got in the car, drove home. By the time I got home, the second round was just about to start. And I was at home for 30 minutes or so. And maybe 35, 40 minutes. I don't even know. And then my mom was like, hey, somebody's calling the house phone. they want to talk to you. And I was like, who the hell would be calling my parents' house phone right now?
The landline?
Yeah, the landline. Like, who would be calling my parents' house phone? So I'm sitting here on my T-Mobile Sidekick and talking to one of my former college teammates, just chatting it up with him on AIM or whatever. And then it was Sean Payton and Mickey Loomis, and they were saying they were going to draft me. And I just hit him with a whole bunch of, like, uh-huh, yes, sir, uh-huh, uh-huh, uh-huh. And then I got off the phone, and I got on the phone with him after that. My mom was like, who is it? Who is it? I was like, oh, there's just somebody who wanted to ask about some interview stuff, maybe possible afterwards. Because I heard of these stories where people say they're going to draft you, and then they don't. So I didn't want to, like, disappoint my mom or, you know, get anybody's hopes up. So I just was, like, playing it cool, just like, all right, they said they're going to draft me, but I don't even know. And then I saw them up on the clock, just like, and like, I didn't even see the Saints even on the clock, really. It was more like they were talking about and discussing these couple other picks right in front of me. And then next you know, it like flashed across the bottom. It was like, next pick. And then my name scrolls across. Everybody goes crazy. Next, you know, a lot of people from Prattville showed up at the house. I didn't want a party or anything, so I didn't plan any of those things. And it was really cool, though, just going back into it. Like I said, I never forget that moment. Then after that, I got to talk to the defensive coordinator, Gary Gibbs, my safeties coach at the time. And just more and more of the guys, and then a couple other media opportunities. And then I didn't go to New Orleans until a week later. It's not like they flew me out like some teams do, the first and second round pick. New Orleans was cool with just flying out Reggie Bush. So, like, once Reggie got drafted, it was like, we're all good after that. So it was, but it was cool, man. I didn't have to wait forever. And I remember like it was yesterday. So I got drafted. I talked to my financial guy later on that afternoon. I was like, bro, like, and I already knew a car I wanted. So literally I got drafted on Saturday and I had my brand new Benz on Thursday delivered to my house. Hell so yeah. it was the first thing. Yeah. I already knew what car I wanted, man. And so it was really cool I wanted a drop top. So I got my Benz, which I still have to this day. I drove it today to golf. So it was good.
What?
There you go.
Damn. Well,
yeah. I got like 70,000 miles on it, so it's still riding good. The best way to not be disappointed is literally to put all your chips in. And so saying like, this is how I'm going to do it. This is the ship that I'm rolling on, and I'm fully committed to it. And so, and just going all in like that, it just really changed me. It allowed me to, I mean, I wasn't focused on anything else. I wasn't in school. I wasn't doing anything but training and really just focusing on trying to be the best NFL prospect at the time as I could be. And even though I getting any visits, I didn't get all the phone calls and things like that. I had no idea where it was going to end up. But it worked out in the end. And like I told guys over this past weekend when I was in Kansas City was that, you know, nobody cares in the building about how you get there. It's all about what you do once you get there and how do you separate yourself and become part of the team and make yourself so valuable that the team cannot let you go.
I still don't trust him not to trade up in the first round and mortgage like future first round picks, but
that hasn't worked well.
Like it hasn't,
not at all.
Yeah, that's been a big topic of discussion. So like that said, you know, staying put, waiting it out, not trading up, get a guy like Jalen Carter, waiting for a guy like Breezy to fall to as a 29. I mean, what are your thoughts on that first round pick for the black and gold?
All right. Number one, I gotta teach everybody how to say his name correctly. So only reason I know, yeah, because it's pretty. It's like bruh, like Braze.
Oh,
so really? Yes. So Brian Braze is how you really truly say it. And the only reason I know that is because my college classmate, his name's Todd Bates, actually recruited him to Clemson and coached him at Clemson his first 2 years before he left on the staff. His last year went to Oklahoma. And so he knows Brian Braze really well, and he enunciated it to me. It's like, bruh, man, like, bruh, Zay. And I'm like, oh.
Dude, thank you.
I'm gonna say
thank you for that, because I have said it seven different ways in the last 24 hours. So
that's the number one thing. The second thing I would say is that, man, I think it's a hell of a pick. I actually really, really love the pick. Not only that, but it checks a really big need for this New Orleans Saints defense. Cam Jordan was asking for more help. You know what? Big time help is on the way. Not only is he a game wrecker, he's really good against the run, but he also has some pass rush and wiggle and can get up the field and really, he's bigger than what you think. He plays really big. He has a mean streak and an attitude. He plays with, you know, some gumption to him. So I really like this move. Now, I mean, and you just look at his background. He was the number one player coming out of high school, landing at Clemson. He was the best player on a Clemson team as a true freshman, really. Like, if you really watch the tape, he was the best player out there most games and being very disruptive. He tore his ACL his sophomore year later in the season. That stinks. And then coming back his junior year, they had a total defensive staff for the most part. They were running some similar things, but they didn't ask him to do the same type of things. I thought his junior year, it was a falling off, but I think it was not only the injury, but then also what they asked him to do was not the same. Not having the same staff, not having the same coaches, like that can affect different players. Not only that, but he was ready to go to the league as well. So I'm really excited for him actually, for the Saints going to get him. I don't know if he failed there, but I would be excited, especially being able to get this man when 2.5 years ago, there's no way he would have been projected late in the first round. He would have been an early first round projection. So anytime you can get high quality player, really great character. Everybody talks about his work ethic and how good of a person he is. I know this from my former teammate. And so I'm actually going to have to reach out to him because he actually already sent me his numbers. Like, hey, I already told him about you, Roman, blah, blah, blah. So I actually have to do my due diligence and reach out to this young man myself. So but I really, 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 really love the pick because it's a necessity. It's in a place of need. And I really, really like the player as well.
And we'll leave this as like kind of the final closing thought on Brzee. But
good job, Corey. You already got it, baby.
I'm working. I had to really try on that one. I had to really try because I'm going to ask you to answer the unanswerable question of what is the contract with Mickey Loomis, right?
Well,
I mean,
so everybody gives Mickey a lot of credit for that. And look, I love Mickey to death, but the star behind the whole show is Kai. Yes. Kai is the man. I'm telling you, the Saints are in cap restrictions and in cap hell every year. And Kai, bum, 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 smooths them here. Like he's a magician with the stroke of a pen every year. And but I'm telling you, Kai Hartley is the guy that's like the superstar behind the scenes that not everybody on the outside knows, but if you know, you know.
All right, so Roman, best team in Saints history, which one?
2009, because we won it all. You got to win it.
Okay.
You got to win it. Most talented is probably 2011, but
yeah,
you got to win it, man. Like, and you got to be lucky. You know, things got to go right. We played the 49ers in 2011, had like 5 turnovers. Played terrible. But we had
– still almost won.
Because we had so much firepower and we were so electrifying offensively and defensively, causing a couple turnovers to get ourselves back in the game. But just one too many blitzes, one too many give up big plays, and it really cost us. And it cost the Champs to win another Super Bowl because New York would have had to come to New Orleans in there. Dude, that place would have been
– y'all steamrolled
it earlier. We wouldn't have been like the 2016 or so Saints that let the Rams beat them at home. That just didn't happen for us. I'm sure we were undefeated that year at home. So, electrifying year. But like I said, you got to be lucky. You got to be healthy. Things got to go.
He was amazing.
That makes sense.
Yeah, I think we hit all the good points. You've been hanging with us for a while, man.
Appreciate it. Well,
yeah, we appreciate it.
No doubt.
We appreciate it always. You're the man. We appreciate you jumping on. Thank you,
Max,
so much.
Max, this is the first time you didn't talk to me before the draft and say who you were going to pick and who was what. I just want to let you know that before we go. I'm a little disappointed in you, honestly. Because am I lying? First of all, am I being honest? This is the first time you've not.
Yeah, for sure.
Hey, man, I appreciate you guys, man. Who dat? Corey, Nick, Max, you know I love you. So love you too, Corey. Sorry. I appreciate you guys for having me, man. I really do. It was always fun. And anytime you guys need me, you know I'm always around. So thank you.
The whole point of the fact that we've even discussed it this much at length is that you can see why I don't feel all warm and fuzzy about what's happening behind Warner and DeMario.
To Nick's point, you wouldn't have felt warm and fuzzy last year if we would have said Warner was going to get hurt.
I liked, but I liked Caden. I was one of
you fucking did not.
No, you didn't.
You
nobody
fucking
did.
Liar.
Nobody
you did
liked him.
Nobody
he sucked.
Did.
I didn't think he was going to be.
Caden Ellis' own dad, Luther Ellis, who Nick and I had his football cards, as, you know, as a
well,
rookie.
Look, I'm not Caden Ellis' dad.
He wasn't confident in it.
I remember when Caden Ellis got drafted. I was actually kind of pissed when he got hurt. Christ. I mean, you want to tell me
Corey.
What's inside
Corey,
my own head?
You're a fucking liar. What college did he go to?
North was it? Yeah. Wyoming?
Yeah.
Northwest Iowa? Wyoming. I don't know.
Ireland? Did I?
No, okay, I didn't say that. Iowa.
Caden Ellis, number one fan.
I remember when we drafted him, I liked the pick, and then I remember when he
you
got
liked
hurt.
The pick. Okay, why did you like the pick?
Because he seemed to be a good
quality. Because his dad played football?
I didn't even know who his dad was. No, I'm serious. I mean, I remember when
his
we
dad was
him.
A first-round pick.
He had
that was
good,
amazing.
He had good upside for the late round, what was sixth round?
This is
seventh?
Awesome, Corey.
Why,
keep
why
going.
Why do you have a good upside?
From watching his tape and looking
at his
tables?
You didn't watch his tape? How much tape did you
How
watch?
How much tape did you watch?
But when I say tape, I mean the highlight reels.
The ones that they showed on WWL after he got drafted.
Well, not like, I mean, ESPN or OTAs,
okay.
Whatever.
Okay, so what in his first 3 years with the Saints had you convinced we had a dude?
Oh, no, I'm not. Again, I said I liked him. I never said.
But you
I
were
thought
confident
we had
last year going into the season because Caden Ellis was riding the pine ready to swoop in and save the day.
I felt good about him as a depth piece.
Did
better
you?
Than I did with Bond.
But why? That's what we want to know.
Right. Why
just
did
because,
you
I mean,
like
what did you see in the 3 years prior that led you to believe this guy would step in and do what he did?
I liked his size. I thought he was disciplined as a defender. What? And he had decent speed and ability. He didn't miss many tackles. I mean, watching him in preseason and
Corey, you're losing it right
boy,
now.
Boy, this is good. This is good. Keep going.
You're
keep
asking
going.
Me what I observed. This is what I observed.
Yeah. Right, tell me more.
Do y'all just feel bad that y'all didn't watch Caden Ellis, and so y'all were one of the few that were surprised?
We did
that
watch Caden Ellis, and we did not feel the same way.
Nick, we were one of the few. We were two of the few that were surprised, by the way, of his production.
How many sacks did he have last year? Seven, right?
Yeah.
He has eight in his career. What did you see? That's all I'm saying. There's not a book of watching Caden Ellis.
So I didn't say I liked him as DeMario or I liked him as a starter.
No. I'm
no,
saying
no, you,
I
you
liked him as a depth piece.
One sack in
but
3 years.
What
led you to say that? That's what we're asking. Not that he's DeMario. Not that he's going to be a Pro Bowl. What did you see in his?
I mean,
first
it's the same
year?
Shit.
What differentiated him between Zach Bond?
Right.
Going into
that's
shit?
All we're asking.
That's all we're asking.
Okay. Honestly, and. Without you all saying like, oh, okay. No, the guy played with more fucking effort and heart than Zach fucking Bond.
Wow.
When you watched him in preseason, when you watched him in camp, which I did, he played like he gave a shit.
So
and
you know,
I didn't
Bond,
see that out of
Bond. You know, Bond was lights out in the preseason like a year ago. That's
everyone thought we had
bonfire
something. Everyone thought we had something with Bond.
Yeah, we all did because Bond was lights out in the preseason. Ellis never showed up in the preseason. But tell us more.
Send me the link of the tape.
I want to see this.
I want to see it. I just think he came out of nowhere this year. That's my opinion.
Well, the
I did not watch
out of nowhere. The production.
I didn't either. None of us did. No one did. Everyone was caught completely off
guard. So the guy that actually remembered who he was from the preseason and the draft gets shit for actually watching him.
Okay.
But that's fine.
That's revisionist history. I don't think
you
actually remember.
You can fertilize concrete with that statement.
Tell yourself what you got to tell yourself. But no, the seven sacks out of the blue. Yeah, absolutely. No one. I didn't.
All I'm going to say is coming into last year, there was nothing on tape in actual gameplay that would lead someone to that thought. He was very much an unknown. He was an unknown.
Forgive me for being too plugged into our fucking team during the draft in the preseason. I mean, if it's on WWL, who gives a shit?
A sack in three seasons.
If you go to a training camp, you see the guy in person.
You have not seen him or observed him do anything
so
that
you,
led you to believe
you know
this dude would
what I've seen, you know
did.
What I've done.
I know you're full of shit if you say otherwise.
Corey, I'm going to be honest with you. If you watched every play he played in the Saints preseason,
I still
don't think you could definitively say that that guy was going to be a player.
No one did.
Again, I said I liked him as a depth piece, not as a seven sack dude. I didn't. No one
why.
Saw that
like,
coming.
What led you to believe this?
Let's pivot.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the 28-3 podcast. This one is going to be the quote unquote charcuterie board episode. We're not going to just stick with meats. It's going to be charcuterie and cheese. You know, Nick and I used to own a couple of restaurants in the city. And we're going to go back to our restaurant days and go ahead and compare current Saints players to different items on a charcuterie board.
Let's go ahead and start it off.
Corey, I know you have some opinions on cheeses and how they equate to Saints players. Give me one of your top comps.
Yeah, I mean, Daniel's suggestion initially was like, you know, cheese, like compare a...
I think he was doing it as a joke.
As a joke. Fucking joke comparison.
It's our bonus episode. It's an addendum to the other one. We're going to roll with it.
Right. And so when I was thinking cheese, I'm like, all right, okay. So, you know, we got like pepper jack cheese, you know, spicy. You want to put it on your sandwich to spice things up. You know, so I see that as, to me, the obvious choice on a pepper jack cheese would be that of an Alvin Kamara. You know, he spices up your offense. He kind of gets to the defense when you're not expecting it. He's definitely not a mild cheddar. I mean, I think if we're going mild cheddar, we're going, you know, a guy who's not on the team anymore. That would be Andy Dalton. I know he's red hair, but, you know, mild cheddar, I'm going with Andy Dalton on that one.
Man, Andy Dalton's like that shredded cheddar shit you see on
mad cheese.
He's
like,
American slices in the plastic wrapper, dude.
Here's what I
do. Hold on. I've got a question for you.
Yeah.
And I think everybody who has listened to any episode of this pod series would ask the same question. What type of cheese would you compare Caden Ellis to? That is the question that is on all of our minds.
Man, like...
Nick is sitting there waiting for you to have an answer on this one.
Like a really nice, smoked...
You got nothing, do you?
You know more than... No, I got something. I'm going. I'm going in on this one. Like,
Smoked
Gruyere?
Like,
can is that something you can do?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, because it's kind of like... Tell me why.
You
why
can
does
smoke
he
whatever you
that?
Want.
Well, first off, I liked Smoked Gruyere from the minute it was drafted. And also, you know...
In the college it came from.
Out of the Pacific Northwest.
It came from the Pacific Northwest from Idaho. And, you know, like, it's not often talked about. It's often even overlooked. A lot of times people put other cheeses ahead of it. But at the end of the day, you know, that Gruyere is something that, like, it's good. You don't realize what you have when you have it. It really should have been at the front of the board to begin with, but everyone's overlooking it for some fancy-ass other shit. And just go with it, you know? They could have just gone with Caden from the beginning, and he could have... Caden Ellis could have started over to Mario Davis, Max. He's okay. So good.
Well, let me ask you this. You're on a roll right now. So give me some other cheese comps. What you got?
Yeah, because I think I'm done on my riff.
Okay. Well, yeah. I'll give you a few of mine. So we'll start off with Swiss cheese.
Okay.
So with that, I picked the Saints offensive line. And there's a lot of holes. There's a lot of holes in the line right now due to injuries and inconsistency. Those are holes in their game right now. So initially, I was going to pick Andres Pete and just say, you know, his injury history and his lack of pass protection. You know, he's amazing in the screen game. But I decided to go ahead and branch out and say the entire offensive line. You know, that's the hole. It's the inconsistency.
Yeah.
And it's also injury.
Pointing at the meat and cheese, telling you what players it is. That's
Iberico whatever. Ham, cream of the crop. It's the best you're going to get. That's Lattimore, Cam Jordan.
No, Cam's prosciutto because he's old and... Top notch.
No, man. See, look, with prosciutto, I equated it to Michael Thomas. And prosciutto to me is like, you forget how fucking good it is. And then it shows up on your plate and you take a bite of it and you're like, holy fuck, that's amazing. And it was kind of like last year when Michael Thomas, you know, we hadn't seen him basically in almost 2 years. Mm-hmm. And he comes in against Atlanta in the fourth quarter and goes bananas. And you're like, holy shit, that guy, he's fucking amazing. I forgot how good he is.
How injury prone is prosciutto?
Not as injury prone as Michael Thomas, but
it's not broken.
Yeah,
sometimes it's annoying and it breaks when you like you want to
so.
You want a
the
big part
layer
of it, but
peels off of it really
all
easily.
All you get is the white part. You know,
it's his Achilles. Yeah.
Next time I eat prosciutto, I'm like, that's Michael Thomas' Achilles.
It has no feet, so that's good.
I went with Alante Taylor to chorizo. You know, he's spicy. He brings that heat. He's got fire. He's got fire on the field.
But isn't chorizo kind of mid, to quote the Gen Zers?
I'm sorry?
Mid.
No.
Max is like, what's mid mean? Yeah. So was I, to be honest.
The guy wearing the country music tank top is not going to go ahead and...
Hey, shout out to my fiance, Lizzie, for going to Country Music Fest for her job and bringing me back a tank top from the Wildwood Country Music Fest. I mean,
that almost fits.
Yeah. Going with like...
What's your thoughts on who's blue cheese on the roster?
And this one's easy. And why is he blue cheese?
This can go two ways depending on the person, though.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to... I'll throw my two cents.
People hate it. I hate
blue cheese. I fucking hate blue cheese.
If you hate blue cheese...
It's a love or hate guy.
But, exactly.
What about Valdeon? You hated Valdeon blue cheese?
Hold on. Corey said it.
Valdeon blue cheese is fucking delicious.
Corey said it. It's love hate. Meaning...
Nick out here with the name brands of blue cheese. Hold on. Like,
Corey said it. It's love hate. A.K.A. Yeah. It's polarizing.
Yep.
Who is the most polarizing player...
It's very polarizing. That's
on the Saints roster? Jameis... Fucking blue cheese Winston.
Yeah, if you're in the social media sphere, yes.
I think we've hit our...
We are.
Quote we are. We're firmly in there.
We are firmly in there.
Are we going to talk about the backup again?
We're just bringing up. He's blue cheese. He's polarizing.
Polarizing. What story? Cesar Ruiz is polarizing.
What guy...
If you think blue cheese sucks... Marcus May.
Now, May would be my second choice after Jameis for this.
For what he's getting paid, it's a pretty stinky situation.
Here's a guy who... Hey, stinky.
Well, Andrews Pete raises his hand.
You were worried about me coming in with the dad jokes. Nick just came in hot.
Yeah, he had a good point, though. All right, time out. Give me your take on Taysom. What is he?
Okay,
On the grand charcuterie board scheme that we're talking about. Now, that's the board. That's everything on the board. You've had plenty of them at Roots, so you know what we're talking about.
I'm trying to think.
He can be anything on the board. Anything that comes out on the board, he could be. What you got?
Well, obviously, he's going to be like the most. He should be one of those, whether it's a meat or cheese, that everybody likes. Like, most versatile.
So, what is it?
Could play every position. I'm trying to think.
What's on every charcuterie board? Let's go that route.
Let's see if you go with what I got.
I'm going different, I bet.
We might be on the same page. Let's see.
What's on every charcuterie board? With pepperonis?
No. Nick, what you got?
That's pizza.
Oh, man. I should have owned a restaurant.
Nick, what you got?
The little pickles?
Blood sausage.
The little pickles?
But that's not on every board.
I'm not going with the same approach as y'all.
Okay.
Okay. So
give us your reason. What you got? Blood sausage?
Because someone's bleeding when he hits a motherfucker.
That's good. That's fucking good. So
Nick's out for blood.
Morcilla is what you want.
He's a fucking mean motherfucker.
That's good. I like it.
Morcilla's good.
No, that's the blood sausage. I went with the fucking spreader. The little fucking metal knife spreader.
Oh, you're not
deal?
Even see that's cheating.
Wait, well, it's not cheating. Wait, it's wait, board. Hold that's on. You're dogging on me for hypotheticaling Matthew, and you're going with a piece of silverware?
You're not utensil,
listening.
Baby.
If you rewind will listen to this pod, and you'll hear me look at you and say, "Hey, it can be anything on the board that comes out."
I don't know.
What comes out on every charcuterie board? The fucking metal spreader.
I'll let you go with it.
Taysom touches every part of the offense and the special teams.
Okay.
The spreader touches every part of the board. What are you doing with a rillette, a pate, the fucking jams? He touches everything. That's why I went with that.
Okay.
You're going to love my comp for Traquan.
I was not.
Wow, you went straight. You going all the way to Traquan.
I'm
going to
go.
Shit.
Well, Caden Ellis is the board then. He's the piece of wood that holds it all together.
He's the rock of this whole situation.
I mean, I think I said mild cheddar, you American, you said pepper it. Jack.
You went through the whole Subway menu with your sister.
I love a Subway menu.
He went through the cheeses that come in a bag at the grocery store.
Do not at me on Subway. Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm going to Rouse's and not putting together charcuterie at my restaurant.
How many American cheeses have you had on a charcuterie board?
There's only one honest American question. Cheese. It's Ryan Ramchick. But
come on, bro. You got something on this.
We're 41 minutes into the cheese episode, guys. Come on.
Oh, it's great. It's fucking great. This is why we had to separate the two episodes. We didn't go for 2 hours.
I'm going to sure.
Fuck, this one's fun.
Shit, I didn't even say Colby Jack.
You say what? Colby Jack. Okay, yeah, Colby Jack.
Another bag cheese.
Oh, man.
You're naming shitty...
Do y'all not do Taco Tuesdays at home? God.
You are naming shitty Robert's fucking cheeses.
He thought you said Subway cheeses, not charcuterie cheese.
Colby Jack?
Sure.
Okay. It was 2 for $4 at the Rouse's the other day, dude.
So it's on everything.
I got me a 10 slice pack of pepper jack.
I got 6 bags of cheese.
Literally, I just actually bought it. Before we even thought I think.
Well, give us one more.
All right. Okay. Who else? We didn't talk about punter yet.
Oh, all right.
And
Gillikin or Headley? So you're going Gillikin. What is he? What type of cheese?
You know what Gillikin is? He's the okay, hear me out. Like, follow me here. White American, but like you go to someone's house, like for a Saints game, and they got like finger sandwiches and party platters, and then there's like cheese cubes on the party platter.
That's usually Kobe Jacks.
That's
Gillikin. He can't get it out of his head. He's got it at home four different ways.
I go for the Kobe Jack. I don't bring that shit
home. We got the slices, the shredded, the cubes. Hey, we got all the Kobe Jack cheese.
We've all seen cheese cubes. We've all seen it. See the cheese
Those
cubes?
Are cheddar and Swiss, I believe. The cubes.
Sometimes there's white America. It's like punting It is a punt. It's not the best punt, but it is a punt on the party platter. When you bring cheese cubes.
It's throwing a shitty party. Is that what you're saying?
It's a punt.
Wow.
If you have cube cheese on your charcuterie plan, you just didn't give a shit.
You punted.
you bought it at Rouse's.
Went to Rouse's.
You punted. You punted. You could have gotten literally anything else.
You know what? Honestly, under that premise.
You punted.
Nick, under that premise, he's spot on. And I applaud him for this because you punted on it if you bought that shit.
Yeah.
That's good.
Did you think about that before? 40 minutes to bring us up? Were you thinking about it the whole time?
I just came up with that. You're welcome.
Honestly, that was your best thought.
I feel like Corey's like, the whole time's like, I can't wait to get to this punter situation.
No, I just like, maybe y'all should have asked me everything on the spur of the moment. Cheese cube punt.
All right. Well, on that note, we'll go ahead and wrap up this special bonus episode on the 28-3 podcast. All right. Welcome to another episode of the 28-3 podcast. Today, we are blessed with the wonderful, beautiful Garland Gillen. Welcome to the show, my man. Good to finally have you on.
Yeah, we used to have these conversations at the bar at your fantastic restaurant, Root. We would go until 1, 2 in the morning talking about the black and gold.
Covering the Saints and training camp. Tell us about what today was, what you expect over the next probably 24 hours.
Really. Yeah, so on Tuesday, Dennis Allen and Mickey Loomis meet with the media. There's not a lot of, things that we don't already know. And then the big one, I think, is going to be a running back is Kendre Miller. He passed his physical on Monday. You got to have him ready to roll in game one because, I mean, let's face it, Alvin Kamara is facing probably, I would estimate, a four-game suspension since he had no priors before the incident in Las Vegas, settled out of court.
Yeah, let me ask you this. So if you had to pick your three most important guys that need to step up this year for the overall success of the team, who would you pick? Like your guys that their performances, whether it's good or bad, is going to directly impact our success.
Like Max, we definitely just got to start at Derek Carr. I mean, last year, if you put the quarterback situation, it was it wasn't optimal having Jameis Winston and
it was bad.
Yeah. I'm trying to be nice here, but yeah, it was suboptimal with Andy Dalton and Jameis Winston. if Derek Carr has a bad season, then they're missing the playoffs for the third year in a row, which will be the first time they missed the playoffs 3 years in a row since 2014 through 2016. But if Derek Carr isn't firing all cylinders, then that's going to be a major problem. And I think it definitely correlates with my next guy, and that's Michael Thomas. You need him healthy. I mean, he's missed 40 games in the last three seasons. This is not working for the black and gold, and I don't blame Michael Thomas. He's just he's been having injury after injury after injury. He's only on a 1 year contract, so it's kind of a prove it contract for Michael Thomas this year. So I don't know if he's going to push it a little more, knowing that he's only on a 1 year deal. So you need Derek Carr, you need Michael Thomas, and then I think on defense, I need to see some from Peyton Turner. I talked about him at the start. They spent a first round. I mean, this is a first round pick on this guy. Okay, you're expecting some.
He's a favorite player of one of our podcast friends, the Saints Block Party Podcast. They love.
Yeah, no, he has got to show up now. This is one of the major keys. So if you gave me like three guys I would say those are three that I need to see step up right now and get there in that first game when they play against the Tennessee Titans. I think with the Saints every year, they just refuse to rebuild. I don't think Mickey Loomis is ever going to want to blow this whole thing up. I just don't, you know, I don't know how many years Mickey Loomis has left. I mean, I know that they love Jeff Ireland over there, but I don't think Mickey's going anywhere. He likes where he's at right now with the black and gold. But it, yeah, you're right, guys. If they're all healthy, which, I mean, we talk about, you know, I'm talking about Michael Thomas. I mean, Pete Warner is a great linebacker. He's another guy, like, just stay healthy, okay, man? Because that's another one, because they're really thin at linebacker, okay? I don't know who, you know, they expect to step in behind. You know, the Zach Bond experiment is probably going to expire after this season. So Pete Warner would be another guy needs to be healthy to make all this happen. But everything is set up for them to succeed. This is a playoff roster right now. There's a reason why everybody's banking on this team. The over-under win total is at 9.5, and them to make the playoffs. They're the favorite to win the NFC South. Yeah, if they don't make the playoffs, you're going to have to definitely get rid of Dennis Allen at the end of the season. But, you know, it would be a major problem with all these pieces together. It's set up for success this year. I'm teetering between 9-8 and 10-7 right now, but I would definitely stick in that boat where they should make the playoffs. And I understand what they're saying. You know, at the linebacker position is definitely light. But yeah, the battle of Paulson and Debo, Alante Taylor. I listen to some people already giving it to Alante. I mean, I'm not going to take Paulson and Debo out of that one yet. That's going to be something to watch.
Oh, that's cool to hear because, you know, like you said, everyone else is spinning it like Alante.
No, I don't believe that yet.
I love hearing you say that. It might be.
Yeah, no, they've already anointed Alante Taylor is going to get that job, and we need to hold off on that.
All right. So now that we've established that.
Oh, no, this is good.
Now that we've established the green tea chicken wings are your favorite, what Saints player is that? So compare those to a Saints player.
So, I mean,
what player on the team most exemplifies?
I mean, those chicken wings, like, I mean, the best part was you would dunk it in the sauce and just let it sit there and, like, you know, permeate in there for like about a minute, you know, while Scotty, the bartender, would, like, you know, make my favorite drink. miss him. He's, yeah, Virgin Islands, man. Dream over there.
Oh, yeah.
He is. You follow?
Yeah, I do. I follow on Instagram and watch his life unfold there. It's a beautiful thing. But no, you know, speaking of here we go. I'll lay it up perfectly there. Just like, you know, you're spinning around, you know, the straw and the drink, you know, the stir straw is the drink. It's got to be Derek Carr. I mean, he is. I know there's a lot of countdowns out there right now, the best Saints players, but if Derek Carr, he's got to be your number one item on the menu. If he's not, this whole thing can fall apart. So I would say Derek Carr would be my favorite, you know, menu item there. He's got to be because Derek Carr.
So you think he most exemplifies?
No, yeah. I mean, if you're gonna have a great restaurant and to compare that to a great season. And to have a great organization, you need that number one item. And I think Derek Carr is that guy. So I would say Derek Carr is the sweet tea chicken wings of the New Orleans Saints.
I like it. I love the answer. That's what I would have given. I love the answer.
Yeah, no, this is good. Thanks so much, Garland, man.
Yeah, always a great.
Yeah, now if you need football. to talk football and food, I'm your guy.
All right, welcome back to another episode of the 28-3 podcast. Today for you, we have a very special guest, Ralph Marlboro at Saints Forecast on Twitter.
Perfect start. My Wi-Fi, he froze up. Oh, this is great. We're not cutting this. That's
right. My thing with saying, like, I don't, there's a whole generation of Saints fans that like don't understand like bad football. They think 7-10 is bad. It's not. It's just annoying. It's just annoying and cruddy. But it's not terrible. It's not hopeless, right? And they have no recollection of it. And I think it's good. Like I'm glad that the Saints have committed to winning, and they have a whole generation of Saints fans that don't understand really bad losing. If you're if you're 23 years old, if you were born in 2000, if you were born the year they won their first playoff game, the Hazlitt years mean absolutely nothing to you. Nothing. Yeah. But we can talk about that, or we can talk about whatever you want. I came out of a meeting, and I was in like a two and a half hour work meeting, and I come out, and I see Jimmy Graham trending, and I have like 40 notifications. Yeah. I'm like, holy shit, did Jimmy Graham die? But he didn't die, and I was just like, wow. But it didn't shock me because – and he – last year in the summer, he's like, Saints are going to sign Jimmy Graham. Like they want – they both want it to happen. They feel good about it. He's going to come in. He's going to do a work. And like it's going to happen. Like it's agreed. And it never did. And we gave him shit over it in the Discord. But then it happened this year. And I mean, we'll see. I'm just excited about it. I feel good stories like that make me happy. So we'll see. And you get the jersey repurposed.
Oh, yeah.
But Brissy is a guy that I looked at when I watched Clemson. I think he potentially, come November, people are going to be like, how the fuck did he fall to 29? Yeah. Because he was the number one high school player in America. So that means he has elite physical skills. Because in high school, Max and Corey, you know this, like high school, they don't really even care about production. Right. They just look at height, weight, speed, measurables, all those things. And they're like, we will sculpt you. Do you have the physical skills? And he was the best of the best, like Jalen Carter from Georgia type physical skills. And he would have been a top 15 pick, but he had the year from hell. His little sister dies. He gets strep throat. He gets another, I forget what it was, some sort of liver infection, and gains like 30 pounds in the hospital.
Yeah. It was definitely non-football.
Yeah. And like his tape was dreadful, but he got it together. Like he is potentially a steal. And to me, that's going to decide whether the Saints are still fun and like grinding between like 8, 9, 10 wins. But if the defensive line is rocking and rolling, their schedule sucks, and the NFC sucks, and that's gonna be the difference between 10 wins and like 13 wins. Because, and I know we're out of this. This is my final thing. Rebuilding is for cowards. It is fraud.
Boom.
Not fun. It's not fun.
Love it.
It is theft
of our money
from fans because Arizona, they're not discounting tickets. The Bears, they're not fucking discounting tickets. The Colts, if they don't sign Jonathan Taylor, they're not discounting tickets. Like all these trash teams are not discounting tickets, and it's theft. And the NFL is not. I mean, if you have a franchise quarterback, you're set for the long term. Everybody else is in a figure it out and maybe like for the Saints.
They're in quicksand waiting for a rope to be thrown to them. I mean,
if it falls right for the Saints, we might have three really fun years with Derek Carr. Like probably won't win a Super Bowl, but we might have like three playoff seasons and it'll be really fun. But like, that's it. Like, unless you have like an all-time quarterback, there's no long-term plan. I can't wait. It's almost here.
It's going to happen. Anyway, so Ralph, thank you so much, my man. And I'm sure we'll be interacting more on Twitter. You and Darsaint, @Darsaint, @SaintsForecast. Look for the battles coming your way. Thanks again for listening to another episode of the 28-3 podcast. All right. You are listening to another episode of the 28-3 podcast. We have a hashtag intro and hashtag music, but we got Adam and Ryan from the Saints Block Party podcast. the collab, the joint episode, whatever the hell you want to call it, you've all been waiting for. So,
time in the making.
Thank you, gentlemen, for joining us.
Like, I feel like this is even before we start talking football, right? I feel like there's to be like a pause and just realize, like, people who are watching or listening to this is like, what's happening, right? We're podcasting. We're doing this. You guys are obviously together. Ryan and I are separate, remote. But whether it's through Twitter or just the Saints in general, have brought us together. I've known Max for such a long period of time. Like, what, 2000? I don't even remember when we touched base the first time. 2013, 2012.
Yeah,
touched base with him when he was at Root. I've known Ryan a very, very long time. Now we have a fucking podcast and a business together, which is insane. And I just want people to see, like, it's a beautiful thing. You know, we have a podcast. You guys have a podcast. We don't fucking care. We're not, like, competing against each other. It's all about uplifting each other and trying to, like, just do good content and just have a fucking good time. And we always have good time content because we're talking about the fucking Saints. There's always something to talk about with this team. Bro, we can just start right today. Yeah. Like, Jake Hader.
Jesus. Oh, my God.
But it's beautiful. And I just wanted to just point that out of, like, these are, like, long-lasting friendships. I met Corey for the first time at the draft, our draft meetup for our podcast we were doing in April.
Well, I was going to say that's a fantastic segue because, you know, and, you know, the draft meetup comes along this past year. And I'm sitting there, you know, at my house, you know, like Max and Adam, y'all familiar situation.
What are you doing?
TLC?
I'm moving that shit out of the way.
You're selling money over here, bro. What's
going on? Max.
Corey just wax and poetic. Just a tender moment, bro. Just ruined.
That's me. He plays saying, Corey, shut up. I'm out. Corey talks too much. Corey talks too much, so I need to move it over and kind of break up the moment.
If I'm talking too much, you just throw ladders across the room? Is that what we're doing?
That's my new way of doing it.
This is, look, I know you're a big WWE fan.
Shawn Michaels and Razor Ramon now, right there, bro.
Like, Jesus, man. Like, this ain't a cage match. Fuck.
Right.
That's how we get Corey to slow down around here. So.
I feel bad
he throws ladders is what he does.
Just listening. Fucking not seeing, like, the actual visual.
That was good. That was great. What did you plan that?
Actually,
that was for you. Didn't. That was good.
Let me say this, though.
Yeah.
So I have a question for the older Saints fans generation. Speak perfect.
Hey, just go ahead and say the names, dude. Don't say older generation.
I'm just saying, out of the five of us, I'm the youngest. So obviously, I was a Saints fan. How does this team, its current construction, offensive, defense, rank in terms of great Saints teams in the past? Because I think, if you just on Matt, hashtag on paper, it's a, like, the strength paper, of this team is very deep, and the top in, like, the top half of, like, the elite players at both sides of the ball, like, the team should be in theory really good. And I know people, like, the national media is not thinking but
I'm gonna take the core. You're too young. Stop. You're not a boomer.
Go ahead, Nick. Feel like we haven't heard from you.
Core, anyone's top three Saints quarterbacks ever? Obviously, Drew Brees number one. Archie, Aaron Brooks. But going past that, man, what is there? You know, there's Jim Everett. There's Vika Collins. So, I mean, Jesus Christ, Bobby Hebert. I'm not even going to say him because...
Yeah. Every time Max says Vika.
I thought
every
Bobby was cold. I thought Bobby Hebert was cold, man. Like, I was young. I'm like,
man. That's how damaged we are, man. That's how damaged we are. We thought Bobby Hebert was cold.
See, Ryan's closer in age than Nick and I, so we're closer in age, so we can feel, you know, we can share the pain that we grew up with.
I'm with Ryan.
This team was fucking trash, man. Yeah, I did too.
Cage and cannon.
Right. What have you done for me?
Yeah, but was he actually good? Was he actually good? No.
We didn't know, though. It's the best we'd ever seen.
It was like the Saints were winning. They were winning 10, 11, 12 games. It was like, so he's good. Like, that's you know, how far our mind went back then. It was like,
yeah, that's right.
Well, the Saints are winning.
No, that's a good point.
Then you look back on it. But here's the thing, like, you could be, like, say, a top, what, 14-ish quarterback and still have a season or two of, like, top 10 production. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So we've seen that, like, with Matt Stafford or Kirk Cousins.
Matt Ryan. Like that. Matt Ryan's Matt a great example.
I mean, he had MVP year. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. So you could have a season where you everything comes together, the defense, the weapons, running game, coaching, all that stuff, coaching. That's when it all comes together. And I think this could be that year for Carr. But it's the coaching thing. I can't answer it till I see it. Yeah, Pete Carmichael.
We have a website, saintsblockparty.com. But every year we made this tradition, we're going to pick a game in New Orleans, home game that we're all going to attend. Last year, I think we got about like 25, 26 people at the meetup. We had brunch Saturday morning. We had the meetup party Saturday night. We all went to the Raiders game. And this year, it's going to even be bigger. We have like at least 6-7 people coming from the UK. We have people coming from all over the U.S., Cali, Pennsylvania, Utah, Florida. It's just a huge celebration of just our community as a whole, of just like, yes, we love the Saints, and that's why we came together, and we want to celebrate that, and we want to give back to the people who support us and you know, want to give, you know, send us their hard-earned money once a month, and it's just a thank you to them, and it's a great time. It really is. It really makes me fall in love with the city of New Orleans all over again. I wasn't born in New Orleans, I'm born in Texas, but I call New Orleans like my second home. Like that's my second home. When I'm there, I feel like I'm home. So we love it.
We went to it last year. It was amazing. Amazing experience. We all went to the Raiders game. We won that game 28-0.
Nothing.
So obviously the best game. best game of the season. Man, all of us were riding a high. After the amazing weekend that we had. You know, Elise putting us up at her house, just having a party there the night before.
You might want to edit this out. Everyone. I want the non-Patreon showing up to fucking Elise's house. Like, hey, let me in.
Yeah,
I mean, they don't have the address, so there was an amazing, honestly, was an amazing experience, probably the best home game of the year, and, you know, it couldn't have lined up any better, just to be able to see everybody in person. You know, we had a great time getting to catch up with everybody, and look, man, looking forward to it this year.
It's crazy, it's just, I wanted to add this, how, and this is just modern day, but like, we have people that we interact with online, whether it be Twitter, Discord, whatever. And like, they're like extended family, they're friends. And we, like, so that party last year was like the first time a lot of us even like met each other in person. And you know, that there's that weird, like, yeah, I don't know if I, but like, there was none of that. Cause we seemed like we've known each other for much longer. And it was a beautiful thing to see. Like, we're like, again, like the fact that we have like 6 or 7 people coming from the UK, like what the fuck? Like that makes no sense to us. But it just goes to show what Saints fandom can do and what a good community can do. And so we appreciate y'all for letting us come on. Max, you know, knowing you for a long time, man, you're like a brother. Corey, knowing you for a shorter time, but you're dope as hell. Nick, hopefully we'll be able to forge a friendship after this. But this is what it's all about. It's just a community of people talking about the Saints and having a good time and hoping people listen and making something out of it.
All right, welcome back to the 28-3 podcast. Sometimes we like to say that, you know, this shit's more than a podcast, you know?
All the time.
And we treat it that way 32 episodes in, and we are thrilled to bring in our guest today who knows that this shit's more than a podcast, and this shit is more than a game. Welcome in, John O'Barnes. What's up, my man?
Let me tell you, any podcast or anything, period, that is named after 28-3 is definitely this shit more than a game certified. So I am honored to be here with you guys.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
We can all agree that this has been a rough week. Speaking of the X, it's been a rough week on the social media for the Saints fans, man. People are in fucking shambles.
Yeah, we are. And you know what? I want to let my man vent.
Yeah,
what you got for it's me?
I'm like,
open mic, go for it.
Well, you see, here's the thing. We've all been ranting and raving about Pete and Dennis the past 2 weeks, actually. You say it was a rough week. It's been a bad 2 weeks. I mean, to have a 17-point lead, that was actually the moment where I was like, I don't think shit has changed with this team. Like, to lose that game after all the offseason talk and hype about, oh, we learned so much from last year. But I'm not going to rant about Dennis Allen or Pete Carmichael, because it feels like it's just yelling into the abyss at this point. I'm going to rant about us. All right. I actually did a meme on last Sunday, but it was actually, you know, sometimes people say a lot of truth is when you joke. I put a meme of a guy looking at a mirror, pointing at the mirror, and the caption I put was, "It's your fault. You got hyped up again about Dennis Allen and Pete Carmichael." I mean, there's an old saying, "Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me." Like, Dennis Allen and Pete Carmichael showed us who they were last year. And God bless the Saints organization. God bless the front office and Mickey and Dennis and Gail and them, because they know all the PR strings to pull to get the fans excited every offseason. Oh, we'll just sign a local player like Tyrann Mathieu. We'll draft an exciting player, and they're going to be right back on the bandwagon and giving us their money, ignoring all of the history of what Dennis Allen and Pete Carmichael are. And we did the same damn thing. And I'm going to be honest. And I love Derek Carr. I'm rooting for him, but if I were to put out into the Twitter world last December, "Hey, y'all, how do you feel about Derek Carr as our possible next quarterback?" Because obviously we all saw that he was on his last days with Vegas. Everybody would have been, or the majority would have been like, "Hell no." And actually there was some rumblings about that, because everybody was making jokes about it, saying, "Oh, look, this is obviously what's about to happen. If Derek Carr's getting benched, Dennis is going to call him in the offseason." And everybody was mad at it. And yet it took him signing and then him saying, "Oh, I'm black and gold spirit and who that," and just how quick is for us fans. Right. I even did a skit on it, and it made Derek Carr's brother, not David, but his other brother, Darren, follow me. So now I'm a little like I treat Derek with kid wheels on Twitter. I don't want the family looking mad at me. I know they're looking at my tweets.
But
it just shows how fanatical we are. And it's our fault. Like, you know, Dennis Allen and Pete Carmichael, like, shit, we showed y'all who we are. Y'all need to look in the mirror. Ironically, which is great for this podcast, he had a .283 win percentage coming into the season. Dennis Allen. So I was like, even looking at that as a positive, like, okay, maybe he's playing a long game with us, and like, that's a sign that he's going to grow. And obviously, we're recording this in early October, so that's plenty of time for the team to turn it around, but we've been telling ourselves that for the past 2 years, and I'm just tired. I'm mad. I think I got all my yelling out earlier this week, so I'm not as passionate right now as I usually am from people who follow me, but I'm mad at the fans and I'm mad at myself. So I'm going to blame myself, and I'm going to give Dennis and Pete right now some leeway and just say we are. So damn. Me, Max, Nick, Corey, we all need to look at ourselves in the mirror.
Carmichael doesn't even want to be there. He's just like, "I don't even want money anymore. Just get me the hell out of here."
He's probably already looking at condos in Colorado saying, "Sean, I'm coming soon, Sean." And that's the thing, though. Jameis. I like Jameis and I like Carl. Like, you know, now they're wearing our team's laundry, so you want them to be successful.
Oh, yeah.
But at the same time, I also get this feeling that we're going to look 5 years from now as Saints fans and be like, "We were really arguing, you know, Derek Carr versus Jameis." And last year, we were arguing Jameis Winston versus Andy Dalton. And I was like, guys, it's like arguing, would you rather be shot or would you rather be stabbed? Either way, you're screwed. Yeah, so why are we wasting our energy on
nothing
this?
Nothing makes.
So then it becomes, okay, is Carmichael that much of a detriment to our offense?
That's the question, right?
Even, mid-tier quarterback like Derek Carr suddenly looks like he's on the freaking Nathan Peterman level because
23.
Yeah, he's
we had this conversation
young.
About Zion earlier about how he's 23.
I agree.
In the maturity level,
we used to get pissed playing Madden when we were that age. You know, like we
used
were,
to.
Yeah, still,
I still
well,
get pissed
what you mean?
Madden,
used
bro.
To. I'm sorry.
Don't give us too much credit. Now, jeez.
That was last night.
I mean, like on that level. I don't.
This afternoon.
Before I came here. Shoot.
Shit. Maybe I'm mad
this
about
shit more than the game, right?
Maybe. speaking of that Packers game, after the Bucks game, did you jump in the shower again? I saw that video. It was fucking hilarious.
The beauty of what I do with my type of content is I try my best to at least bring some laughter to the pain, because Lord knows, not just the Saints, but I do, you know, other local teams as
it's
well.
It's funny, man.
It helps, man.
Look, first and foremost, it's real.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Because I swear to God, I'll watch your videos and I'm like, Jesus Christ, that's what I fucking do. Before a game, after a game, when we lose.
the BET thing, or no, Love is Blind, whatever the show was.
That
like,
was
I watch anything, but I mean, I literally watched everything.
So can I give a shout out to, because we're going to be peeling behind the curtain. I want to give a shout out to my wife, because she is the absolute best at being a
supporting actor for me, and she has no interest in doing the content bits of being.
I always wondered, I
didn't even formally ever ask her to like join me. I kind of one day just gave her the phone and say, "Hey, film this," and then you know, it, obviously because people see themselves in those type of content bits. So I was like, "Babe, we got something good going on," and she's never once complained. And a good thing is, like you said though, Max, it's real. Like you know, I might extrema. That's not even a word. I might exaggerate it. I feel like Peacock's like at a press conference. I might exaggerate it, you know, a notch, but like I try to take like my actual reactions and I calm down after. I take like maybe 5 or 10 minutes after a game. I say, okay, what? I go back to all the emotions I had just went through during the game and I say, what can I do now, you know, to put a comedic level but kind of take it up a notch. After that Packers game, I was like, I really just want to take a shower and be done with the day. Hey, light bulb. You know what? I'm going to go in the shower, fully clothed, and do that. The Love is Blind one that we did, we literally did that on the fly. Like, they were going the room to watch Love is Blind and the light bulb went off. I say, I would rather watch Love is Blind than watch the highlights because I don't want to watch what the Bucks just did to us. Oh, hey, you know what? We can make fun of that. And we do. And that's how quick some of these things come together. And it's real, and I think that's why people kind of gravitate towards it. I love that Bucks skit because my cousin, who was like a big brother to me, he was the one who played the Falcons fan at the end. He actually passed away last year.
Sorry to hear that, man.
He got hit by a drunk driver. And,
Jesus.
Yeah, people, please don't drink and drive. Yeah. I got hit
on his
motorbike.
Let this be a PSA.
So just
please.
For like to watch that that being at least a top three of one of my most popular skits, and like to see him involved with it, it's like. It's bittersweet,
nice,
but it's also a cool little thing. Like,
he
was involved
every
in it
up.
Before. He was actually involved kind of in this shit more than the game process, too. So I always kind of just, he's like my motivation.
That's awesome.
Like, look
that's
how,
awesome.
Look how high everything, you know, I talk to him. I pray to him.
Hell yeah.
At least once a month, I'm like, look how far we've, you know,
dude.
Look what I'm doing. Like, I hope you're looking down and smiling.
If people didn't need more reason to support you and wonder, like, you know, because I think there's times where I was like, hey, it's hilarious, but it's, I'm like, did he just think like this shit more than the game? T-shirt, boom, that's it. But like, I love hearing stories like that where it's like on the outside, it's very consumable and hilarious. But when there's like a deep iceberg below the surface, man, like that makes it a good one. That makes it so much better.
And you know, the kicker is, so it wasn't like we all got together, me and my wife or him and my family and say, okay, we got to come up with a slogan. And like, this shit more than the game was 100%. It was organic. And the first time I said it, it actually, I did not say this shit more than the game. I say it's more than a damn game. And it wasn't even a Saints skit. It was a Pelican skit. We had just won the play-in game two years ago to the playoffs. So I did a little skit. Woody Green had did a very good pep talk in a huddle to make us come back and win the game to go to the playoffs. I did a video where I was like real into it. And of course I had my wife recording and like she's playing the annoying wife. She's like, Jono, it's not that serious. And I said, this shit. I said, it's more than a damn game.
Dude, I think I watched that because I'm plugged into Twitter on Saints and Pelicans. Like, but I remember that shit back then.
Yeah, and that one was Pelicans people was cut. I was a Pelicans ball boy for 13 years. Yeah, we'll get into that later. So I was just glad to see, like, finally, like, the city is, you know, embracing the Pelicans. Because winning cures everything, right? And
it does.
Attention. So I'm like, good, the Pelican stuff that I'm doing is starting to catch on. And so the next skit that I did, though, because I remember seeing how popular that skit was, and I was telling my wife, I was like, yo, this more than a game thing. It kind of seems like, you know, it's a cool thing.
Like it,
and it's real. Like, again, we didn't script it. Like, when me and my wife do it, like, I kind of give her some points. I say, okay, just kind of say this or that. And I'm going to just kind of feed off of how I feel or whatever.
Well, you know, she's going to be like questioning. And like, I mean, shout out to my fiance, Lizzie. It's like, we kind of know when our significant others are just going to say something questioning.
Yeah.
So it's like,
you
don't even have to, you probably said it just to make sure that she was going to be herself.
Yeah. And she doesn't have to play a character. I always tell people it's not a skit, it's a documentary. We just put ourselves out there. But the
Love is Blind
that I did is when I say this shit more than the game. And my guardian angel now, he was also in that. I had did a stupid skit where like I was mad because the Pelicans had lost the game. So I said, Dwayne, come here. And I like took my basketball and I said, this is how you play our basketball, Pelicans. And I act like I don't throw them. I said, this shit more than the game. And it just took off from there.
Hell
so
yeah.
So I feel like my cousin up there is putting some strings in heaven saying,
he's a Georgia guy. So.
Yeah, no, well, the Georgia thing, man. And not only a Georgia thing, I'm like, I had this way. I'm glad you brought that up. His damn body. I'll say, wait a minute, because I was about to tell you guys no. Because he went to a Jesuit, and I'm like, dude,
hold on.
Holy Cross, baby. Don't get it twisted.
We're talking about Jesuit.
Wait, three of y'all went to Jesuit? Yeah. So this was a great www.thisshitmorethanagame.com. I appreciate the time.
Holy shit, I wish I had his face on video right now.
That was perfect.
Wow, it was like, so I'm surviving. It was like we planned it. Like we're all cracking our knuckles, like,
yeah.
What do you guys show me?
Big shut up.
You should be so damn mad about the Saints. You should be used to being in second place.
Oh,
you know,
you put up like a sense of humor, a double paywall channel. But like the first paywall is ship more of the game, come subscribe, follow good Saints content. And then it's like, okay, y'all want the real shit?
This shit more than this shit more than the game after dark. Y'all get, you see, we just came up with an idea, guys. There we go. Shout out to the 28-3
pod. But the after the one that I liked and can relate to, because I'm always like, you know, I'll be waking up my fiance with like stuff, or she'll be like, why'd you wake me up? 21st of September.
Yeah.
Was she actually asleep, or did she know it was coming? Well, you know what? You don't have to let me in on it. But like
my face probably just told the answer, thankfully, in
the
way.
That looked like a fun, but here's the thing I did like on that one. And it was 3:28 a.m.
I know.
People don't see.
Do you think that was a coincidence? Come on.
I knew it wasn't, but I think there are people that missed that.
I do a lot of Easter eggs in my video. And I'm a big Simpsons
Chris
fan.
Nolan right here.
I'm a Marvel, huge baby. Simpsons fan. And Simpsons Easter eggs all throughout. And that just inspires me. So I'm always like trying to throw a lot of 3:28 references.
I found that one.
Yeah. 28-3 references in my videos. But like, there's some other things that I do that I'm like, hey, if somebody sees it, great. If not, I'll live with it.
Oh, we catch it.
But I thought I liked that video with the partner. Like, that was hilarious.
A dad joke doesn't offend me. I acknowledge that a lot of my stuff sometimes can be funny.
I love dad jokes.
I was telling you guys before the show.
Corey never met a dad joke he didn't love.
I had dad jokes before I became a father.
The bigger I get, the more I get people who are vocal about how much they don't like my content. I think that I'm lame or whatnot. And honestly, the bigger you guys will get, I'm sure Falcons fans are going to be like, man, these guys are so lame. How can you brand, you know, a whole podcast about the Saints and y'all had nothing to do with the game or whatever? Yeah. That shit doesn't bother me, though. You know, like, yeah. I love to give my attention and energy to my supporters than to the people who don't like me, because the supporters are the ones who are...
Hell yeah.
They don't know it, but they're also supporting you.
Exactly. Building you up.
That's what's happening.
Right, yeah. Right.
That's what's happening.
For the haters, I always say.
They're feeding the algorithm, man.
I may not be everybody's cup of tea.
Dude, engagement's great.
But eventually, you got to drink up, motherfuckers.
Hell yeah.
But when I see like people wearing my shirt, like that's always the most amazing feeling in the world. My mom was actually shopping this week. On Wednesday, she was wearing my shirt. Of course, my mom's going to support me.
Hell yeah.
She was at Walmart, her and my dad, and one of the workers came up, and they were like, you're fans of Juno? And my mom was like, Juno. She's like, karate or the movie? What are you talking about? She said, no, you're wearing his shirt. And my mom, oh, yeah, that's my son. And so my mama FaceTimed me. I wish you would have gave me a bit of a heads up. I was in my pajamas. Yeah. I'm like, what up, mom? You know, I don't know. She's like, hey, you got a fan here. And I swear, the fan was like, she was about to cry. She's like,
oh, my God.
And that's like one of those moments where you're like, wow, I'm really kind of like, you know. I'm not, again, I'm not the biggest creator out there. I don't have this huge audience, but.
Hey, but it's going good.
That's how it starts.
I know who should be the next head coach.
Who?
And he should be the next head coach. The next head coach tomorrow.
Who's that?
He should walk into Foxborough, be the next head coach tomorrow. Jono Barnes.
That would be great.
We are giving Jono Barnes, the new head coach of the Saints, on Sunday the floor, who's taking the Saints into Foxborough this Sunday. Jono Barnes. And his pep talk is,
I would say, men, look at each other. Look at the man across from you. Look at the man next to you. Look at them and take a good look, because I promise you right now, those guys are the only people who believe that we're going to leave this stadium with a win today. I've already seen the graphics of congratulations, Bill Belichick, for your 300 win. They are expecting a party today. They have already counted us out. And let me tell you guys something. We've been on the sweet side of this franchise. So I've seen a lot of these same faces in this locker room right now. Who knows how it is when the sugar is sweet? But what's the testament of a man when that shit turns sour? It's easy to be a top dog when things are going good. But the real test of a character of a man is when your back is against the wall, when nobody believes in you. I'm letting you guys know right now, I believe in you. I believe in the work we put in. I believe in the work that we have done since training camp until now. And yeah, our path isn't as smooth as we would like it to be, right? I mean, we're a New Orleans team. We have a few potholes that we have to go over. But I absolutely believe in everything that we have instilled as a team. I believe in everything that we've instilled as a defense, as an offense. I don't give a damn if our own fans don't believe in us right now. I know that each and every one of you guys believe in us. And I believe that we are going to go out there and kick Patriots' ass.
Let's go, Coach.
Look at that. Look at that. I want everybody to hold your helmet up and look at that damn fleur de lis. That's not just a damn logo. That is a symbol of pride for the city. Let me tell y'all something. This shit more than a game.
It's more than a game.
So go out there and play like this shit more than a game, because the standard that we have set for ourselves has not been met the past 2 weeks. And that's a little bit on me. Actually, that's a lot on me. I'll take the blame for that as a head coach.
Shit more than a game, coach.
I believe in you guys. I know you believe in yourselves. So let's go ahead and show the whole damn world that this shit more than a game. And I don't give a damn. We're going to make them hold off on those congratulations, Bill Belichick, for your 300-win graphics another damn week, because they damn sure ain't doing it on our watch.
But next week,
y'all know what time it is. It's this shit more than a game time. So let's huddle it up and bring it all together on three.
Let's
one,
go.
Two, three. This shit more than a game.
And thank you for listening to another episode of the 28-3 podcast.
What a comeback!